138, we read verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Here this morning, I understand that we all have troubles. We walk in the midst of trouble. We live in a world of troubles. We understand also the fruits of God's Word. Many of the songs we've already heard sang this morning, even though troubles abound, the Lord will give us the strength to persevere. The Lord will revive us, revive us heart and spirit. And thank the Lord for that. Listen, you need to understand today, you need to know in spite of the troubles, the midst of troubles you're walking in, that you still can go forward for the Lord. You need to have confidence in God. And Brother John had said and spoke there about it, he was saying about it. We can persevere. The Lord ought to put forth on us we can bear. We can persevere. We can overcome. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can conquer. The Bible says we are more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. You can. You can. In spite of trouble, because of the divine Lord, that's His promise. You can walk. You can do. You can go forward. We never need to get in that negative state of mind that we can't. So certainly the power of the Lord, we can. The title of the message this morning is to walk with God. I'd like to turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we'll read verse 21 through verse 24. Our lesson this week was a lesson in our devotional book this week. We spoke about walk with God, and the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart. I thought about some of those things, dwelt on some of those things. And we put some other scriptures and words along with that. We thought, felt like the Lord had given us. It might be an encouragement to you today. And for you that are saved, you will continue on to walk with God. In Genesis chapter 5, we start reading in verse 21, down through verse 24. We talk about a man called Enoch. Enoch's a very unusual man. Had a very unusual happening in his life. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Methuselah is said to be the oldest man in the Bible. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. They begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch lived 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. To speak about God taking him, that what we think about in our life, what we may be looking forward to for those who will be alive and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to take us. We're going to rise and be up and change our body, our soul. We're going to go up, be changed the moment we come out. We'll go up and be forever with the Lord in the clouds. Only one other person who reads the Bible, Elijah, is taken by a whirlwind up from his earth, taken up into heaven. Again, Enoch walked with God, and it was not for God took him. That's not the most important part, though it's a very ticker part. A very outstanding part of this passage of Scripture. What I want to draw your attention to this brief passage we've read, and Enoch has been used as an example of this all throughout the centuries, is an example of what a believer should be. What you and I, God's child, should be. That is a person who walks with the Lord. A person who has the testimony that they walk with the Lord. Many people want to name the name of Christ. Their lives portray anything but a Christian life. And then there are those that have a Christian life, they want to be a Sunday morning Christian. And then all the rest of the week, they want to live their life according to the dictates of the mind, dictates of the world. As Brother Creech said, the little G-O-D in this world, the devil. They want to live for the devil, the devil cry. And they want to come back on Sunday, they want to be a Christian. While they're even, maybe just while they're in church on Sunday morning, and maybe even Sunday back again Sunday night. A part-time Christian. I want you to understand there's nothing in the Word of God, there's no truth, there's nothing about a part-time Christian. You're either a child of God or you're not.
Amen.
You're not a part-time Christian. No such thing as a part-time Christian. Enoch walked with the Lord for at least 300 years of his 365 years on earth. You think about that. You may say in your heart, well, it's hard for me just to make it from day to day. It's hard for me not to give in to the temptations, the trials, and the havoc of the world. It's hard for me, and I'll walk in the midst of troubles. troubles surrounding troubles every day of my life, and it's hard for me to even generate up enough energy to be able to go through life. And how can a man, how can we think about a man called Enoch? The Bible says for at least 300 years, he walked with the Lord. He said, what does it mean to walk with the Lord? That word walk has many different general uses, but some of the most common, this word walk in this passage of Scripture, means to walk alongside. To walk alongside. To be in conversation with. To walk agreeably. Does that describe your walk with the Lord? First of all, do you have conversation with the Lord? Do you talk with the Lord? And does He talk to you? So how do I talk to the Lord? You talk to the Lord through prayer. One of the greatest unused power sources in the world is our prayer with God. Do you talk to the Lord in prayer? You say, well, how does the Lord talk back to me? God talks to you through His Word. He talks through the preach. He talks through devotion. He talks through Sunday school. He talks you through the message and song. He talks you through His Word as you read and apply to your life. What about when the Scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you and God in agreement? Do you walk with the Lord, or are you in agreement as you walk together in this life? There's a person one time, and there was a political race. I was in a political race. And I understand all the ramifications. I understood why the person did what they did. Oftentimes, if you're in a political race, you don't team up with someone else. You don't team up with another candidate in another office. Well, sometimes if you do, because the people for them, they'll get mad at you, and those people over here campaigning back and forth, they get a lot of animosity. There's a person that they always treated me well before this, they treated me very well after this. Exceptionally well afterwards, they've done many things that made it easier for my job. But there was a wreck, and I happened to be in the same area where this wreck happened. And I got out, and this other person, another political candidate, and we wouldn't run against each other. I want you to understand. But they were running for an office, and I was running for an office. Well, they come up walking up beside me, and they said, Tim, how you doing? I said, I'm doing quite well. How are you doing? They said, good. So they said, let's go up and see what's going on. Well, that was good, and I thought we'd walk side by side. We would talk. We would converse back and forth. We would go up and be able to maybe help any way that we could. That person, only for a brief minute, walked beside me, and then they made sure that they stayed about 5 or 6 steps ahead of me, still talking, not looking around behind talking, but talking in a loud enough, clear voice I could hear them. So I thought, well, they're just naturally a fast walker. So I speeded up walking. As I tried to get up close to them, they kept walking faster until they almost, I said, well, I'll just see how far this will go. And I got to walking, power walking, almost to a slow run, but no matter how fast I walked, they stayed at least 5 steps up ahead of me. Why did they do that? I understood why they had done that. It would have hurt my feelings, and I thought, you know, how come two people couldn't walk together? You know, you couldn't be civil, walk together. But they wanted to let it be known that me and Tim Underwood are not together. We're not in agreement. They wanted to be out there ahead of me to let everybody and all people that's involved, and it was in this pileup of wreck, they didn't let anybody that may saw or seen, that if somebody said, well, I see Tim, and they seen you and him together, walking together, you all must be in cohorts and working together. They wanted to make it sure that it was no one. Me and them was not in agreement. It kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but I smiled inside. I understood what they was doing. I thought it was quite petty, but I thought that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to do that. What about when you and the Lord are walking together? Are you walking side by side in conversation? Or are you out there ahead of the Lord? Are you ashamed to let people know that you're a child of God? Are you talking back at the Lord, or are you talking with the Lord? You know, some people talk to you. You say here today that me and you are talking with one another? No. It's just generally as a pastor, as a preacher, as I'm up here preaching and foretelling, I'm up here, I'm talking to you. Certainly I'm talking to myself, but I'm talking to you. Do you just talk to God, or do you talk in conversation? Do you walk out ahead of the Lord, and you walk way behind the Lord, or are you walking alongside the Lord? There are things to walk, to be in conversation with, to walk agreeably. For you and the Lord to be in agreement. Something's got to have to happen. There has to have been a reconciliation made, because enemies. We are enemies of the Lord. We are born with a sin nature. But this reconciliation is made possible through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is applied to your soul by faith. Applied to your sins. Then, and only then, can the sinner have the true fellowship, that true walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 22, it's a lengthy chapter, but it's a lengthy reading. But it's a very impacting, empowering reading. It says, we was dead in sins, quickened. We was quickened by the Holy Spirit, hearing the gospel, made alive. After being dead, we was made alive. We was saved by the grace of God, and God called us. As we responded by faith to that call, and repent by faith, we accepted Christ as our Savior, saved by grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We was an alien, a person no hope. Now there's been a reconciliation made, and that reconciliation, Jesus Christ, is that reconciliation. Through Him, the reconciliation was made. So again, there's only pathways we can have and start to have any true fellowship or walk with the Lord. You have to be saved. The Bible, God's Word, says a lot about walking with the Lord. It just says a lot about walking with the Lord. I want you to take time to look at a few things, many areas that we're commanded to walk with the Lord in as God's child. Number one, certainly would do us all well, as children of the Lord, to walk wisely. In Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. As we just depend completely upon our heart, upon our own mind, our own desires, our own wants, what we think is best, apart from when you start thinking and making decisions, apart from what thus says the Word of God. Not what you think's best, not what you think would work out better, what you think needs to be done. If you start making decisions apart from the Word of God, you're going down an unwise path. All that you think, all that you do, as you behave, and your actions that come out of your thinking needs to correspond back to what thus says the Word of God. If you don't do that, you're walking in an unwise manner. He that trusts his own heart is a fool. Whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. What does it mean if you think about walking wisely? To walk wisely is to walk reverently. You say, what does that word mean, Brother Tim? Well, that's the problem right there. We don't know what reverence means. We as a people, as a generation, we are continually getting farther and farther away from the reverence to God's house. We forget this is God's house. If we come to worship, we forget about that. Are we so bold and brash to walk into someone else's house, just take great liberties in their house? We forget sometimes that this is God's house. That family center is a building of the Lord. It's dedicated to the house of the Lord. That house is dedicated to the building of the Lord. I'll do things differently here and over there and in that house than I will at my own home. Why? Because it belongs to the Lord. It's the grounds and the property of the Lord. To have a reverence is to truly walk in fear of the Lord. We live again in a day and a time where people have no fear of God. There is no fear of the Lord. There's no fear of any reprisal. There's no, and we say there's no fear, but at the same time, the Bible says that men have this mindset, they have these actions and attitudes, and they say there's no fear. The Bible says the last times will be characterized by men's hearts failing for fear. I think there's a lot of anxiety in this world. There's a lot of problems in this world. People don't understand, they can't comprehend. Their lifestyle keeps them so completely messed up. And they say, no fear, no fear, no fear. But they have great anxieties, great fears. Why? Because they don't have the right to be in their life. So we say to walk wisely. To walk wisely is a person that would have reverence and a godly fear for the Lord. everything you do, take into consideration, what about the Lord? What about the Lord? The Bible says, don't say you're going to do this or that tomorrow. If the Lord will that, if the Lord be in that, if the Lord will allow this to happen, in my mind. Number two, to walk with the Lord means to walk in faith. To walk in faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I understand that credit. I understand that a credit card, a credit in general, is a great blessing in many areas, in many ways. A lot of times it is a great hindrance to our faith. Sometimes when the credit card says no, the bank says no, the family says no, the friends say no, and then when all other avenues exhausted, then we turn to the Lord. Well, the Bible's immune and goes to the Lord first and foremost. That faith in the Lord and trusting God and allow God to work out in my life as He would work out in your life, as He work out in my life. Have I always obeyed that? Do I always do that? To always walk in faith? My faith is not as strong as it ought to be. I've not always walked in faith. Oftentimes I want to try to fix the problems, the situation myself. But the Bible says if we're going to please God, we need to walk by faith. The Bible says in Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we ask you today, how is your faith? How is your faith dependent upon the Lord? How is your faith just trusting upon God to take care of situations? Without your intervention, without your doing this, that, and other, I'm not saying we just stop and go up our hands and say, Lord, you know, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. I'm saying you read God's Word, you read God's Bible, you follow what the Lord tells you to do to the very letter, and then you depend upon the Lord to make things work.
Amen.
And I tell you this today, when I ask you how your faith is, I don't want you to tell me. You need to ask yourself a question. And you've got to understand that it's not wrong to say, Lord, I just have a lack of faith. Lord, give me more faith. I need more faith, Lord. And then to tell you real quick how you have more faith. One of the ways that your faith can be strengthened. And your faith, though you walk in the midst of troubles, how that your faith can be strengthened. I'll give you a very, very easy fix to start with. It is simply this. That you be faithful. You be faithful to what to that which you know to be good and right and proper. You be faithful to that and that. Wholly commit to that, and your faith will strengthen. I guarantee it will. Your faith will strengthen. We can't just sit back and cry, help me, help me, help me, if we're not willing to help ourselves, if we're not willing to put forth effort. We say, help me, Lord, and the Lord sends you help. And the Lord said, okay, here's the help. Here's what you need to do. Well, the Lord can do all that He wants to do. He can do it in a magic, and we call it a magic, or He does it in a supernatural way. He can take care of the problem. All the time, our Lord works through means. And He accomplishes things through means. So God says, okay, here's the means to make this work. We need to step up and by what God gives us, the power, the strength, the ability to do what God tells us to do, and then I guarantee your faithfulness will be strong. Your faith will be strong. Number three, though you walk in the midst of troubles, walk on with the Lord and have rejoice in your heart. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verses 17 through verse 25 of this same passage of Scripture, let's take time to read that. Do you understand what has been said here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, that is walking as God has commanded you to walk. Period. Walk in the leadership of the Spirit. Oftentimes, as Christians, we spend too much time grieving the Holy Spirit. We spend too much time, instead of progressing on, as children of the Lord, we fall back into the baby mode again and got to start off again on the baby food and the baby things and the baby steps. When God says we ought to be in a place that we're teachers and encouragers of others. But we fall backward. To walk in the Spirit is not grieving the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to obey the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, you don't obey the lust of the flesh. You don't give in to those things of the flesh. And we read about some of these. Look at Galatians chapter 5. We'll start reading verse 17. This is saying, then walk in the Spirit, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's what the flesh does. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. There's always that battle. There's always that inward battle. Romans chapter 7, they're teaching us Sunday school hour, hit on that as well. There's always that battle that is waged within our heart and our soul. If you've been led in the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you be led in the Spirit, you can conquer. If you be led in the Spirit, you have to give in to these things. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. And we can say, well, none of those things. What about hatred and variance? What about having hatred in your heart? And variance, aggravation, meanness, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Often there are those that feed upon those things. But God's Word says it ought to be our life. Envying. Always envy the other person. Always envy what they have. Not satisfied what God blessed us with, wherever what state of life we are, but always envy, not able to enjoy what God's given us, because we have to envy what the other person has. Murder, drunkenness, revenge, and such like. And with the table before, that also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the affection of lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So again, the Bible tells us that we're going to have that good walk with the Lord. We need to walk in the Spirit. Understand this. You can't live it if you don't have it. People sometimes in our area think about the losing of salvation and not being able to hang on and stay true. Let me just tell you this. Number one, you can't do it if you don't have it. And if you got it, you can live it. Again, Brother John sang about that. We've heard that said several times today. If you have been saved, born again, the Holy Spirit is indwelled in your heart. There's no excuse you cannot do. You cannot go forward. You can walk with the Lord. In the spite of troubles, you can overcome. Why? Because the Lord lives in your heart. The Holy Spirit is within your heart. So again, walk in the Spirit. And number four, walk in truth. In 2 John chapter 4, the first part of that verse, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. That is walking according to the way and the will of the Lord. Again, not in the way of the will of what you think is right, what you need to do, what you term to be the best avenue. But you need to walk in the way and will of the Lord. But that hurts family. That hurts this. It hurts that. It hurts my plans. It messes this up. Walk in the way of the Lord. Walk in His way and walk in His will. We don't determine. You say, I'm my own man. You belong to the Lord. Life is God's barrel.
Hallelujah.
And I'm thankful that He does. Listen, when you were saved and God saved you, I grant you this. It wasn't all about my way, my will, whatever. It was, Lord, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
Amen.
Lord, help me, take care of me, save me, forgive me. Lord, I'm yours. I'm concentrated to you. I'm going to do what you tell me, Lord. I'm going to obey you. Oh, boy, we're good at that area at that time. after God saves us. Like when we get sick, when we get healed, we kind of fall back out of the ways and things of the world. Then once the Lord starts working in our lives, we start getting to feel good again. We use it for the detriment of our betterment, not for the betterment of ourselves. So again, we say what? We walk in truth. We walk in truth. Walk according to His way, His will. In John 8, 31 and 32, then said Jesus, those Jews which have believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples. Indeed, if you continue in My word, if you keep My word, if you walk in truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God will give us the truth. God will allow us to see the truth. We can't get by in the service of the poor and say, well, Lord, I didn't understand. Man, did you ever try to get off as a child and tell your parents and told you what to do? And you say, well, I just didn't know what to do. I just didn't understand. I grew up on a farm. I grew up taking care of animals all my life, been responsible for animals all my life. And when I was told to do something, it was told to save those animals, make sure those animals live. Or didn't get in danger, or didn't get out, or hurt someone else, or hurt the property. I just couldn't get by making excuses growing up. I couldn't do it. My father was not a tyrant, was a dictator to us. My mother was not overbearing. They never asked me to do anything that I couldn't do. They asked me thousands of things I didn't want to do. But not one thing that I couldn't do or wasn't able to do. But I just couldn't ever get by with saying, gee, I just really know what you want me to do, Dad. Gee, Mom, I really know what you wanted me to do. When they knew, I knew exactly what they wanted me to do. Listen, as we understand the Word of God, we can't get by and say, well, Lord, I know you want me to do that. Listen, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit and leads us in truth. If you've been saved for a very long period of time, or if you've been raised in church, the moral grounds, the groundwork has been laid. You know what to do. The Holy Spirit convinces you what you need to do, what you should be doing. And we can get our excuse to God cannot ever be, well, Lord, I'd have walked a little closer to you today. Lord, I just really didn't know what to do in that situation. No, you didn't apply yourself. It's like I don't apply myself all the time. Okay. Be truthful with yourself, number one. Be truthful with God at all times. And then it won't be hard to be truthful with other people. You don't have to go through making excuse after excuse after excuse. You don't have to be stupid. One thing, you have to be pretty smart to keep yourself wise and being untruthful. Because you forget what you said the last time. But you need to walk in truth. Be truthful with yourself. Be truthful with God. And it won't be hard to be truthful with other people. But to walk with the Lord means you're going to walk with the Lord in truth. And number five, walk in love. To walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 through verse 8. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, hath given for us an offering and sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness for covetousness. Let it not be once named among you, become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, or jest, which is not convenient, but rather given a thanks. But this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous, who is at the altar, have inherited the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, and because of these things, come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Listen, as God's children, we need to walk as His children. We need to walk as children of the light. We need to walk, as that verse says, that we need to walk in love. What did we say this morning? We said this morning, if a person does not walk in love, a person does not have love. We said Wednesday that if there is no love, all other things have no value. It was not done in love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, referred to Paul ago, tells us that sinners who walk according to the course of the world, according to the devil. Our minds corrupt as well as our actions. We were children of wrath. But in verse 4 and 5, we're told, but God is rich in mercy for His great love, where He loved us, even when we're dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Is there any better reason for you to walk in love than you who is dead and a sinner, dead in your sins, and the Lord quickened you, the Lord saved you and forgave you your sins? Is there any better motivator for you than you love Him? How could you not love Him? How could you not walk in Him in love as He saved your soul? And saved the soul of your loved ones and the ones that went on to heaven and those which have a hope and have the confidence that the Lord's going to save them in the near future. How could you not walk before Him in love? Suppose that these thoughts, as a saved, born again believer, blood-bought believer, I ask you to continue on with your walk with the Lord. If it be faltering, ask God to strengthen that. If you do those things, maybe even these very brief things we mentioned, maybe you bolster them in your life. Bolster your walk with the Lord. And even though you walk in the midst of troubles, as you read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Continue on walking with the Lord. Continue on your walk with the Lord. And as you do, your testimony, your walk, your testimony, your walk, will be like the man we read of there in the book of Genesis, the man called Eve. Whom it is said of this. Here's what's said of him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. There in the book of Genesis, it didn't say a whole lot. It said he was 300 years old, he was 65 years old, he gave birth to Methuselah, and he lived 300 years after that. A man called Enoch, and it says that Enoch was not. In other words, he just disappeared. What happened? He went up to be with the Lord.
Amen.
That's a whole lot other about him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, expound on it just a little bit. It says this. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, here's his testimony, that he pleased God.
Amen.
He pleased God. Pray, you have to understand this. You will always be pleasing to the Lord as you walk with Him. You always be pleasing to Him. Here if you're saved, isn't that the heart's desire that you have at this time? Every fiber of our being, we should be wanting to be pleasing unto the Lord. You'd be here lost today. You'd be here backslid today. We ask God to build your heart as you respond. Let us know. Share with us what we have in your heart today. If you're saved, there's no reason. You too can't be that man like Enoch and be pleased with the Lord. What made Enoch pleasing? Because he walked in ways that God wanted him to walk. Have a heart's blessed invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.